You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
We are reflecting on some results that came through this morning. We got some SENS announcements from Kumba Iron Ore. They gave us their full year results for the year ended 31 December 2024. I'm joined on the line by the Kumba CEO, Mpumi Zikalala, to take a look at the company's performance and see what we make of it. Good evening, Mpumi. Thanks so much for taking the time. Always lovely to catch up with you, especially around this time of the year. It looks as though the year was quite an interesting one from an operational perspective and from a performance perspective. How do you reflect on it as a team?
Yeah, Jimmy, thank you for having us. So, I mean, when I spoke about the results earlier, I said that it was a good set of results. And a couple of things to highlight. One is from a safety perspective, we saw a 22% improvement in our total recordable injury frequency rate. And this is the best ever performance for Kumba. And linked to that, we clearly had a fatality-free year. From a production perspective, production was flat. And that essentially reflected where the logistics performance was. And we planned clearly for this, understanding where the challenges that we've got in the space. But more so, when we spoke again, we spoke about the fact that we saw a 4.4 billion rand improvement in our cost base. When we started the year, we spoke about the fact that we were reconfiguring our business for the lower production performance. And we spoke about the fact that we wanted to get to a 2.5 to 3 billion rand improvement on our cost base. So we actually beat that by 47%. And it's credit to all the wonderful men and women at Kumba, because that allowed us to improve our C1 unit cost from $41 per ton to $39 per ton. And then clearly, if one looks at the bottom line, we delivered an attributable free cash flow of 14.5 billion rand. And that allowed our board to declare a final dividend of 19 rands and 90 cents per share for the half, and for the full year, 38 rands and 67 cents. And that was actually for the full year, 100% payout ratio on our headline earnings. So all in all, a good year. But I have to say, we had our various challenges. So there's a lot of work that was done to get to the space.
We'll get into some of those challenges in a second, Bumi. I want to just touch on the cost containment conversation. I mean, obviously, you touched on the fact that you were able to achieve that 4.4 billion rand in savings, but this is obviously in line with what you had guided for from that lower production. Take me through to the importance of cost containment in a cyclical environment like Kumba's, where sometimes there's a market slowdown, there's a demand side slowdown, and you still have to keep operating. There's nothing that says to your operations, hey, you guys can take a bit of a break, you can't continue to produce. Take me through how important that cost containment was for you in this year.
It was absolutely key, Jimmy. And for us, it was driven by a couple of factors. So firstly, our business is set up to actually sell over 40 million tons of iron ore. But as a result of the challenges that we've had in the logistics space, we've been sort of constrained from a sales perspective. And we fundamentally decided to just review our mine plan and optimize that, because we initially we kept, you know, producing, but we weren't selling, and we ended up with significant levels of stock, and we had to then face the reality and replan. And then linked to that, we reconfigured our entire business on the basis of the optimized mine plan, and we had to fundamentally drive for those cost efficiencies in order to improve our cost base. So it's been a lot of hard work that's gone in, properly planned and clearly delivered 47% more than what we initially planned for. And we will continue with this work, because particularly in a cyclical environment, we've spoken about it. Typically, people will talk about the prices, but in our space, we had additional challenges. And that's why we'll continue working on the cost base. So for this year, 2025, we've set ourselves yet another target of improving our cost base by 2.5 to 3 billion rands. And knowing my teams at Kumba, and it's a wonderful team, we will work very, very hard to achieve this.
Mpumi, I want to look at the results that are bearing fruit in this current year. I mean, that cost containment alongside that export price holding ever so slightly to the green meant that you were able to protect that margin. And margins are very critical when you've got such a huge operational cost in running both sites and all the other operations that go into mining. I mean, take me through that margin protection and hitting that 41% EBITDA margin. That's obviously something you want to keep around that level.
Definitely. So, Tim, if you look at it, I mean, our revenue actually reduced by 21%, and that was largely due to two factors. One was the pricing environment. But even within the pricing environment, we always compare our final price relative to the benchmark price. And that was actually better than the benchmark price. And it's simply because at Kumba, we focus fundamentally on the delivery of high-quality iron ore. And clearly that earns us the premiums that we rely on as a business. So that work continued. And going forward, we will actually be investing additional capital to further improve on this. It's a circa 11.2 billion rand technology project that will be the implementation of the ultra-high dense medium separation technology at our Sishen mine. So that's the one thing that we focused on. But in addition to that, we've spoken about costs. We've understood that when one looks at the challenges that we have, particularly with regards to the reduced sales volumes, we just needed to focus on the things that we can control in order to ultimately do exactly what you've said, which is for us to protect our margins. And that's our game, hey? So we figured that there's a lot of uncertainty in both the macro and the micro space. We need to influence the spaces that we can influence, and that's through us working with Transnet and our government around the turnaround of Transnet, but more so within the space that we can control, which is the cost space. We understood that there's a lot that we can do.
Mbumi, from an outlook perspective, take me through how you are seeing the markets. I mean, you touched on obviously being able to control the controllables that sit within your wheelhouse, but things like exporting into China, which is such a big part of your export strategy, and the logistics side of it from a Transnet perspective. Take me through how the business is looking at those two factors going into 2025, saying that those are both out of our control, but we might be able to just prepare for an upside on both sides.
Yeah. So, Jimmy, I mean, if you look at us as a business, I spoke about the fact that we focus predominantly on the delivery of high-quality iron ore, and we are investing in the space to further improve on this going forward. What that allows us to do is to actually to sell, yes, into China, but to sell into other markets as well. And that includes Europe, Japan, and South Korea. And as a result, if you think about it, those are countries that primarily focus on decarbonization. And as a result, we get to earn a higher premium when we sell into those regions. And that's something that we fundamentally focused on. And we see that essentially continuing going forward. If we look at prices for this year, we expect them to remain predominantly at current levels. But when we look at the longer term from an iron ore industry perspective, and fundamentally linking that back to steel, we are very bullish when it comes to steel, particularly steel that's produced within the aspects of reducing the carbon emissions that come from the entire steelmaking process. And we fundamentally look at this. We say that the global GDP is going to increase going forward, and that requires steel. We also look at the fact that the world will have to decarbonize going forward, and that will essentially require steel. And fundamentally within that, we look at the fact that with especially decarbonization, people will have to utilize higher quality iron ore in order to reduce their carbon emissions. And that's a space that we are planning to continue focusing on. So when I look at the ultra-high dense medium separation project, it will certainly help us with regards to the improvements in our product quality. And that's something that will benefit us in the longer term. The other aspect that we clearly consider on the cost-based side is the fact that from a technology perspective, the investment will allow us to actually treat, believe it or not, lower run-of-mine material, but still deliver higher quality iron ore. And with the treatment of the lower run-of-mine material, it means that we'll be able to take material that's used to go into the waste stream and treat that and actually recover higher quality iron ore. And that will allow us to further improve our cost base. And we clearly focus a lot on our cost competitiveness. So net, there's a lot of work that's going into our space right now, not just looking at making sure that we protect our margins in the short to medium term, but also looking at us positioning ourselves for the future. The last thing around this is that this technology will actually allow us to extend the life of mine, of Sishen mine. We saw that. With this round, we're able to extend the life of mine by 2 years. But we do know that we've got additional life of mine extension optionality that could possibly take us to 2044.
Mbumi, before I let you go, I want to take a quick look at the share price performance. 47% down year on year. Obviously, this is one of those not controllables that doesn't sit in your wheelhouse to be able to determine. And the job of the business and the job of the board is to operate as efficiently as possible, which you've done. Would you say that the market has potentially been a little harsh in terms of how they've responded to your operations, or is it just part of what happens in the markets and that's why you focus on the things that you can control?
So if you look at our share price performance, I mean, the bulk of this has been driven by the changes that we've seen in the iron ore prices. If one looks at where we opened at the beginning of last year and where we ended. And clearly, as a business, we predominantly focus on iron ore. So we've essentially felt that hitting us hard on the share price. And there are a couple of additional factors, but that's the bulk of it. Clearly, as the CEO of Kumba, if you ask me, I do believe that our share price should be stronger, and we'll continue working on the things that we can control, Jimmy. I think for me, the biggest thing that we focused on as a team is that we can always talk about the macro and the micro dynamics and talk about all the challenges. But what matters the most is us then looking internally and saying, how do we still position ourselves for success, even within those dynamics? And that's why we focused on the cost base, because we wanted to improve our position on the cost curve. And that will then allow us to continue ensuring that our business is sustainable and through future investments, that actually gives us future life of mine extension. So clearly, we're focusing, I have to say, on the things that we can control. I think we did that exceptionally well in 2024, but we'll continue doing that because we do believe that there's more value that we can still drive for.
A clearly focused business and a very focused team. They're delivering where they absolutely can and where they need to, and it's showing on the balance sheet. Hopefully the market starts to respond to that accordingly, but we'll leave the conversation there for now. Mbumi, thanks so much for those insights. Mbumi Zikalala, CEO of Kumba Iron Ore, on their full year's numbers for the year ended 31 December 2024.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.